Hola, 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 and Coca-Cola. Welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast. Yes, it's going to be that kind of morning, dark boy. I am one of your co-hosts, Dr. Pookie, and is always at my
and
side.
And I...
Okay.
Yes, I'm dark boy.
All right. See, we are out of sync already this morning, but that's all right.
I know.
It is okay.
That is just fine.
That's it. Because, you know, what did Whitney Houston say? It's all right. But it's not right, but it's okay. And we're going to make it anyway.
Yeah.
That's all right. Okay. Yep. So we're going to do that. So on the Sexual Healing Podcast, we cover all aspects of life as best we can, from the top of your head, which might be a little nappy, to the bottom of your feet, which might be in need of a serious pedicure. But we do it from our perspective.
Might be a little crusty.
just a touch crusty, like some overcooked french fries or something. But we cover it as best we can from our perspective as two black gay men in our 40s. How tragic is that? But we've made it to our 40s. I mean, depending on...
Mid-40s, well.
You know? Yeah, mid-40s. Just smack dab in the middle of the 40s, yes. So, you know, let's check on in with the people. How are you doing, Dark Boy? How was the week? Who you ready to slap?
Well, you know, I don't want to bring the conversation down, but, you know, we do have the...
Yeah, we do.
The death of a... sudden death of a really close mutual friend of ours that none of us were ready for. I'm still dealing with that.
You know, I'm still trying to find my wig in the darkness. It just got snatched or blown off my head. And
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the crazy thing about this is that I am always going to connect his death with, it's going to sound really bad, but you'll understand why. It'll be connected with my toilet. Because
that's when you heard about it.
Yes, when your husband called to tell me about it, I was cleaning the toilet. And so, and I was sitting there like, okay, I can't really sit down. Because he was like, you might want to sit down. And I said, what is going on? Definitely reeling from that one.
Still. I mean, well, it's been a couple of days. But the sad things... Me and my husband, we just saw him.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even a week. And then we get a phone call that, you know, he's gone. So, you know, life is just short and fragile. And this was definitely a lesson for that, you know, or a reminder. I think we all know it, but this is definitely a reminder of that. So.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I definitely, and I think as I said to him when he told me and was having a hard time, I said, you know, I understand it's painful to have just seen him. I was like, but you just saw him. Imagine had it.
I'm glad we did see him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was trying to point out, I was like, you just got like a fresh dose of who he was. And not all of us got that. I mean, there were folks that he knew that hadn't seen him in years.
Well, there were a lot of folks that had never even met him in person, but he just connected with them so easily on Facebook. So,
yeah.
You know, those people, they never even got to meet him or talk to him in person, which, you know.
Yeah.
It's tragic. That's tragic right there, just because.
Yeah, you know. Very much so. And I just remember the first time I don't remember. I don't know if that was the first time I met him in person, but I swung by you guys' old place and picked him up because I think he was there watching Roscoe. And I scooped him up and we went and hung out all day. And it was just, I was like, oh, this is a cool brother. And, you know, we've been tight ever since. And, you know, he was one of those folks I would definitely call and be like, okay, so look, this is what's going on. Snatch my wig for me so I can get, you know, I can snap out of this shit, you know, and
he was very good at snatching those wigs.
Yes, he was. I told him he's a professional hairdresser. He should have gone in the hair because he was forever snatching folks bald. And every now and then he would surprise me and say, no, you're right. He's like, your interpretation of that is correct, although you may not want to hold on to it too long because it's counterproductive. But I will let you have this emotion for a while. But yeah, he will definitely be missed. Yes, I guess how did the week go before that fateful Thursday?
You know, the week was fine because, like I said, we were in Palm Springs. We had fun. We saw him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a shorter week. Work wasn't too crazy. And, you know, everything was good until, you know, we heard that. So, you know, that was it. Everything was fine.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so funny.
What about
you? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Oh.
I was going to say, what about you?
What
about your week before the news came out?
Oh, gosh. It was kind of bonkers. It's just, I was trying out a new approach to kind of planning out my time and my days, because I find that there is so much going on just with the stuff that I'm developing and putting together outside of what I'm doing for actual clients. And then I have, you know, this little nugget of something, almost like a shriveling Horcrux, called a personal life, that I try to divert a little bit of energy to. And then also just the spiritual aspects of my life, and, you know, and just things at church and obligations I've taken on there. I was getting crushed day to day. And it was causing me a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress, because it's just like every day it's like, what do I work on? And oh my gosh, if I dedicate this time to this,
there's not enough time.
Yeah, it's just always, there's never enough time. And that is debilitating, at least from my perspective. It was quite debilitating. And so I just said, you know, let me try something a little different here. So I tried something different. So I spent Labor Day doing my homework on this something different and attempting to put it into play for Tuesday through Friday. And I actually did put it in play on Tuesday and Wednesday, and it went relatively well. I'd say the one thing I took from it is that there is enough time if I actually impose some timelines, and not so much timelines, but like if I impose time limits on myself, because I'm a perfectionist, so I would just keep working at something until it meets an impossible standard, which means that it always takes longer than it should. Therefore, there's never enough time. And so I just kind of jumped off the hamster wheel and was able to do that for a couple of days. And it was actually nice. I think the biggest thing I took from it is that there is enough time to do everything, and that there are some areas in my life that I'm going to have to sacrifice, or some things, in particular television, is going to have to go. You know,
that's going to be tough.
Yeah. I mean, not entirely. I mean, the US Open is going on, you know, so I got my girl Serena queued up at 1 o'clock to record, and I'll watch her probably later tonight. Also just cutting down on my online gaming, with, you know, with my different games that I convinced myself I played them because they help with my deductive reasoning, which they did, but there are certainly more efficient ways to accomplish that goal. And also having to really, what was my thought? Oh, it went that quickly.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Also social media. I was much more purposeful. And I think the thing that was interesting is that I didn't realize that our friend had passed away, because I hadn't been on Facebook to notice that he hadn't posted anything, because he posts.
And I didn't notice. I'm not on there often enough to notice he didn't post anything.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I never caught everything he posted. So me not seeing it didn't trigger anything.
Yeah, I mean.
You know what I mean? It didn't say, oh, that's odd.
He was one of my see first people. So anything he posts goes to the top of my timeline until I've seen it. No matter what time he posted it, it stays there. Like, you know, he's there, you're there, your husband's there, B is there, you know, my mom, my sister.
Okay.
You know, that way I don't miss anything from the folks that I'm, you know, generally in touch
connected
with.
Connected to.
Yeah. So it's never like, oh, I don't know, I never saw that. It's like, oh no, I saw that craziness. Some of y'all post more than others.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to wade through the string until you get to the other stuff that's going on out there in the world. But I always saw it, and I typically, and the stuff he posted often had significance to me, because I was like, oh, I need to hear that. Oh, I need to see that. So I always appreciated his posts, and I just hadn't been on there to notice that he hadn't posted. I'll put it this way. When I logged back into Facebook, just to leisurely stroll through, I had like 112 notifications. It's just like...
Okay, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. So that was about 3 days worth of notifications that I had not seen. But otherwise, it was a mixed bag this week, I think I would say. And got a little more peace in my mind and in my schedule, but definitely my heart's a little heavy, and I'm still trying to process all of this. And so, but alrighty, I guess we will...
Transition.
Yeah, we'll keep it moving forward here, and we will slide into our blacklist. So, take her away.
Yes, so our blacklist is our favorite, or sometimes not so favorite, top three items of something during the week.
Of blackness. Oh,
not during the week, just, something black-related, our favorite things. Mm-hmm. So this week we're going to do our favorite black websites.
Yes.
And I can go first, you can go first.
Okay. You can go first this time around. I think I went first last time.
Okay.
Maybe.
So, my number three, and people might laugh at me, I guess. I don't know.
No judgment.
I consider this to be a black website. So,
okay.
To me, World Star Hip Hop.
Oh, that is, I guess that is a black website.
Yes.
Okay.
But to me, I mean, I go on there. I do see the little music videos that people post, but I'm on there for those fights. I'm on there for the fights. My husband does not like it, but
I know he doesn't.
I gotta see my fight.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
I shouldn't do that. But I just, I just get hooked on watching these fights. So,
I mean, it's humanity laid bare. it's just like, oh gosh, yeah. It's actually, it's not a site that I even think about most of the time, but it is like a black hole for me. I will.
Well, there's an app, and I have that on my phone.
So. Oh, see, I know better than that. No. There will be no app installation, because if I do cross into some black, World Star Hip Hop, then I might be there for an hour or two.
Yeah, well, trust me. Yeah, you will.
Yeah, because there's, I love a good fight where there might be some weave left in the street or in the gutter.
Yeah.
The men's fights are always kind of, well, not always, but most of the time the men's fights are like, that's not interesting. But the women, remember that one with the big sister that was fighting the two smaller girls, and she picked one of them up and just power bombed her ass in the middle of the street?
I've seen so many. I've probably seen it, just don't remember.
She took that girl and lifted her up and tossed her ass. The toss girl's friend jumped in and got her ass whooped too, but she had the one by her hair and had her bent over, and the other one, she had her in a headlock, and they were up against a car, and she slung the one by her hair across, and she went flying, and the other one, I just said, oh my God, and those two basically had to retreat. They said, we didn't have enough of this bitch here. That's one of my favorite fights from it's just awful. It's awful.
I know. And you were the one that got me into these fights, by the way. You don't know that. I think I may have told you.
Did I take you down?
You showed me one video of somebody being beat down on a bus. And ever since then, I've like, oh my God, I got to see more of these videos.
The woman that got clocked by the bus driver, I think. Because she was talking shit.
It was two passengers.
Oh.
Well, it might have been two passengers.
Okay,
yes.
Well, that could be anything. I think the most memorable bus video for me is certainly where the sister, I think it was in Cleveland, she was talking crazy to the bus driver, and I think she put her hands on him, and he was like, you gonna learn today. And he walked up and uppercut her ass and threw her off the bus, and I hollered. I said, that is wrong, sir. But yeah, let us move forth, because I didn't got caught in the black hole with just memories, not even new stuff.
See, just even talking about World Star, you got caught up.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The black hole is terrible. Okay.
So, yes. What's your number three?
Okay, so my number three was a tie, so I would just mention the one that lost out, and then I'll highlight the one that won that broke the tie. So my honorable mention was Huffington Post Black Voices.
Okay.
Because, you know, you just get your informative blackness. But my number three was Madame Noir, which is a site for and by black women, I guess. It's always good for a woman's perspective on things going on, and it's also great for a nice think piece. And so that is my number three.
Okay.
Yeah, so what is your number two?
My number two is The Griot.
The Griot, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And now, that one, I first heard about it, I think somebody had linked an article on Facebook, is how I first heard about The Griot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how, so I said, oh, this looks good, you know, interesting article. So I bookmarked it, and every once in a while, I will pay them a visit to see what they got.
Okay. No, it's actually a cool site. I haven't been on The Griot in a while, though.
It's still around.
Yeah, I don't, you know, their stuff doesn't really get posted to Facebook.
Not on Facebook too much.
Yeah.
No, not too much.
I don't.
But that's how I found out about them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened with that. Because, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of I discover stuff through Facebook because people will post things and I'll be like, oh, I've never heard of this website before. You know, I'll read an article and then I'll kind of poke around the site itself to see what else is there and do I need to kind of put it in rotation in some way. And The Griot, I think I discovered it through Facebook and then it just kind of disappeared.
Yeah, just like me.
Yeah, but it's definitely a good site. I've read some good stuff there. So in the interest of time, my number two is...
Yeah, your number two.
Uh-huh. My number two is Blavity.
Okay.
Blavity, in case I'm not enunciating very well. it is kind of like... it is a black side. It's definitely, I would say, leaning more toward the intellectual sides. You're going to get your think pieces. You're going to get a little more... intellectual take on some of the news, not like it's over anyone's head, but it's definitely more geared toward a think piece. And it also deals with the subheading for it is Black Creativity and News, hence the Blavity. So it's black, you know, and then the
creativity.
Yes. And so it is definitely much more of a, hardcore-ish news and arts kind of deal. Like, you know, looking at the cover, apparently there's an allegation here that George Zimmerman had threatened to harm Queen Bee and Jay-Z. Which means, the Beehive is going to be on that ass. And then they got stuff like Mac Miller reflecting on drug use and stuff like that. So
Now, Zimmerman did this after thinks he's still lucky to even be around. So I would definitely be taking it lower.
This article was posted an hour ago.
Wow.
Oh my.
He has not learned.
Okay, he called Beyonce a broke whore and threatened to harm her and husband JC over the recent documentary Rest in Power, the Trayvon Martin story. Ah. I was wondering why he'd be coming after them. I didn't make that...
That's what I'm saying, but after... He's still alive.
Oh, yeah, he's still
alive. Nobody came and got him already. I'm saying nobody... Because to me, I thought, sure, this man... Someone's going to get him after he wasn't, you know... After the whole Trayvon Martin thing. And he didn't... Nothing happened. So, okay, someone's going to give... There's going to be justice one way or the other. And I'm surprised it has not happened. So...
Well, I think Zimmerman has probably been hiding out... He's definitely not a public figure, and I think the last I heard about him, he was rolling around armed because he knew you know, he came across the wrong one, they was going to tap that ass. Because I'm sure he feels like he's above any sort of reproach. Because he has a gun, you know, he's not wrong about anything. But I'm not going to give any more airtime to his dumbass.
Yeah.
So what is your number one?
My number one is also another face that I discovered on Facebook is The Root.
The Root. Okay.
Yes. And I liked, and I, you know, I don't see it as much anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't see it as much on Facebook, but I like because sometimes they would have articles about, you know, this was more like historical stuff, stuff that happened during slavery and different, you know, stuff was hard to read, but it's good to know. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we can't forget what was done, what happened. And so they had some very, very interesting things. Again, horrible to read, mm-hmm. but still informative and just kind of good to know. And so to me, they're the number one.
Okay. They were also my number one.
Oh, very interesting.
I appreciate the information that they have, but I think also I love the writers there. They are they are hilarious. And they are so appropriately irreverent is also one of the things I like about them. They have very few fucks and they don't give them.
Yeah.
You know, especially I mean, they'll be the ones with talk, you know, they'll start an article with, okay, y'all's president, you know, and I'm just like, oh, damn, right. It's okay, it's that kind of article, you know, it's
like, we don't claim him.
Yeah, they just like, we don't
he's
have,
not our president.
Basically, like, we don't claim that motherfucker. And so it's, you know, I love that kind of humor, that kind of carrying on, that kind of irreverence. And also, it's just, they're able to take what's going on right now and just present it in a way that's a little more bearable because of the sense of humor, because of the irreverence, I'm able to kind of deal. Because it's the news nowadays, it's overwhelming.
Oh, yeah.
It's too much. I would not want to be an adolescent or a teenager nowadays because it's just too much.
Well, because you think this is how the world is. It's like, it really is not like this. But
well, not only that, but I mean, you got school shootings virtually every damn day. Most of them we don't hear about. It's like, I mean, that's the other. I'm like, how do we have that many school shootings and we don't hear about them?
Because honestly, the sad part is that there's not enough people that are killed to make the news anymore. Well, that's what it is. So. And we have. When I was in school, I didn't remember. Of school shootings, it never was a thing.
Yeah, I mean, the only time I ever really knew about school shootings when I was younger is when it was on a TV show and somebody decided to bring a gun to school to scare a whole bully. You know, there was no intention to use it. It was kind of like an after-school special kind of feeling, you know? But nowadays, this shit is serious. When I walk onto a high school campus now, to speak or anything like that, I'm a little, it's just because I don't know. I can't look at these kids as kids anymore, if that makes any sense. They know they have known and seen and experienced too damn much. And so the innocence, in as much as, you know, you can have innocence in high school, is gone. And the expectations that you have and about what could happen there, not necessarily to you, but what could happen there, period. It's distorted. It's totally different than when we were in high school. I mean, the biggest thing on our campus was a fight.
Yeah, me too.
You know, and then it became, oh, so-and-so slapped the shit out of Miss So-and-so. It's like, since when have, you know, kids been hitting their teachers? You know, it's just like, and next thing you know, it's like, oh, yeah, they bust a cap. I'm like, what? Oh, gosh, yeah. I don't know. I just remember when that movie Lean on Me came out and everybody was so appalled by the teacher that got assaulted in the lunchroom, had the back of his head caved in by, you know, I guess a former student or student. I don't know. But they were just, I remember they were up in arms by that. And I said, well, I'm sure you're kind of looking back on those days now a little differently, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, because at least it's like, okay, you got your ass whooped, which is not right either, but at least you're breathing. At least you are not permanently injured in some way. But I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent. I'm going to shut up. It's like I'm trying to be mindful of the time. Because that whole time limit thing applies on this show, too. So, alrighty. Did you have any more thoughts on The Root? Because I know I did cut you off.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, so I guess we shall move into our main topic.
Yes.
And this week, it's something dealing more with the head and the body. We're going to be talking about meditation and mindfulness.
Yeah.
Just as ways to perhaps get in touch with yourself and to even treat yourself a little better than what you normally do. And so when we were doing our research to get ready for this show, I'm a novice practitioner, I would say. I'm hardly an expert, but I now meditate a couple times a week, including for a class that I'm in at church. And so I definitely, for me, there are definitely some benefits there, particularly for a stress monkey like myself, who's often and seemingly perpetually under the gun, that it's helpful for me to meditate. But really, I think looking at meditation, let's talk about what our respective histories are with it. Dark Boy, do you have any sort of history of meditation?
No, I don't. I have none. That doesn't mean that I shouldn't. You know, I should have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing, well, let me take it back.
Okay.
So, like, meditation, like, I always think of it as being this thing where you're just kind of in a room by yourself, you're just kind of relaxing, you're turning off all any outside stimuli or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
If that is, I mean, so if that is the definition of it, then I've done it a few times, you know, when I was stressed.
Mm-hmm.
There were times, especially a couple of years ago, where I had a job that was just fairly stressful and a lot of drama, a lot of really unprofessional stuff was going on, and it would just wear me out. And so there were times I would just come home, I would just run the bath, warm bath, and just get in the tub and just kind of relax and just kind of calm down. There are times where I would play, you know, what I would say kind of relaxing or soothing music. So maybe that is meditation or a form of it, but I didn't do it on a regular basis. So, and to me, I think what we're talking about today is kind of doing it, but doing it on a regular basis, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like what you've described is certainly a form of meditation. And it's almost like a cross between like a mindfulness meditation where you're just really focusing in on your breathing and just kind of acknowledging any thoughts that might come to mind, but really remaining still and doing as little as possible.
Yeah.
And what's the other type that kind of had a cross with? I'm trying to remember. Oh, ooh. Yeah, mindfulness. So that was it. Just like,
okay.
Yeah, and mindfulness is something that a previous therapist had recommended to me as a means of kind of quieting my mind, in the sense of not so much trying to exercise control over all the thoughts coming in. But as one of our resources says here with mindfulness or mindful meditation, is focused attention and awareness on the present moment by watching your natural breath, which is what you were doing, and also natural occurring thoughts. So it's kind of like, it's not this whole idea that a lot of people think of meditation as when you meditate, you don't hear anything, you don't think anything. It's like, no, if you're lucky, you can get to that state. But for the average person, meditation is simply being able to focus in on the moment and focus on their breathing, because just doing that and being more intentional with it slows your heart rate and it calms you automatically.
Gets your pressure down.
Yeah, it can you know, it can help you power down. And it's not to say it's foolproof, because I mean, there are just some days where I'm monitoring my breath and it's like, I'm still not calm. You know, I'm still not at peace, but at least I've been able to kind of settle down some of the crazy, take some of the edge off. I often look at it as kind of checking in with myself. Because one of the things that I do is, you know, like I try to use mindfulness to deal, and it isn't always an issue of meditation. Mindfulness can go with you throughout the day. Imagine you're sitting on the couch and it's like 10 o'clock at night and you should be heading to bed, and instead you're thinking about making yourself a cheeseburger or something, or you want some caramel corn, and you want this, or you want that. And yet, you know that none of those things are good for you. Like, if anything, go get yourself a glass of water, drink that, and carry your ass to bed. And the thing that mindfulness does is it basically tells you to kind of stop, focus on your breath, and ask yourself, what's going on in my body right now? Am I craving something? Is there some, you know, because often our cravings and our motivations about certain things, they're not literally what they appear to be. You're not hungry. You're just stressed about something, and your reaction to stress is to eat.
Okay.
Particularly comfort foods.
Yeah, the bad stuff.
Yeah, it's like all the stuff that really will fuck you up is what you crave. And I mean, for me as a person living with diabetes, you know, sugar is it. It's something I should not be messing with. And so, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, it's like a late night, you know, bowl of ice cream. It may not seem like a big deal. It's like, oh yeah, I might put a little weight on. But for me, with my medical condition, it is a big deal. You know, it's bad enough to be eating, you know, the sugar combined with fat, which is not a good combination.
No.
and then to go to sleep on it too, so I don't even give myself a chance of burning it off. It's not.
Yeah, you won't burn any of that off.
Yeah, it's just going right to the hips or to the belly or wherever it needs to go. And that excess sugar is just going to accumulate in my system. Not good for me. So, you know, and so I often have to ask myself now, it's like, okay, so wait. Let's stay out of the kitchen, stay out of the freezer. What's really going on here? Am I thirsty? A little bit. What's, you know, I don't really need this ice cream because I'm not hungry. So what's going on? You know, and I just kind of have to break it down. And sometimes it actually does happen in terms of I'll realize, oh, this is what's going on. Other times I'm just like, oh, I'm really kind of anxious and stressed out right now. I'm not entirely sure why, but I am. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go for a walk, or, you know, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Anything but eat is the point I'm making. Yeah.
I was just going to ask you, so what do you do then? But you just said it.
I don't know if I've ever, like, truly meditated in that way as much as in those situations with cravings. I just kind of slow down and say, okay, breathe. And I'll realize I'm not breathing very well. And by that, I mean not very deeply, not very deliberately. It's almost like very shallow breathing, very rapid breathing, because I'm just agitated. Okay. So that's the first thing I'll notice. And so I'm like, okay, you're not breathing well, so let's take some deep breaths here and, like, really kind of settle in and focus. And then that gives me a shot at trying to figure out what else is going on. At least lets me tap into what's going on in my head. And it may just be that I'm nervous. I've noticed now that I don't need to eat food or snack while I'm watching sports, because if I'm nervous and tense about what's going on the screen, I will eat and eat and eat and eat.
Like, if your team is, like, if the team you are rooting for is not doing so well, you're stressed about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if it's a tight contest and it's really kind of intense, I might be inclined to eat a little more than I would normally. Okay. Yeah, that's the way I work.
And I bet a lot of people
mm-hmm.
do that and probably don't even really think about it.
No, they don't. They don't.
I mean, I have to think, do I do that? I mean, I'm not a big sports person, but I have, yeah.
The funny thing, even, you know, it's like sometimes I'm hungry and the sports are on. So I'm like, well, I need to freaking eat. So what I'll do is I will mute the TV and I will take my glasses off. So now I can neither hear it and not see it very clearly. Particularly if it's a tennis match, because, you know, it's U.S. Open season. So I can't really see the score without my glasses on. So I don't really know what's happening. I mean, I don't know, oh, so-and-so won this point or that point, but I don't know the score. Not anymore. And I'll go prepare whatever it is I want to eat. And I will sit down and I will, quote-unquote, blindly watch the sports. And then when I'm done eating, I'll put the glasses back on and unmute the television. And hopefully I don't need to be even more distressed. But at least at that point, I know I'm not hungry. And if I do go to eat, it's like, no, you're not hungry. Sit your ass down.
Okay. I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are there different types of meditation? Like, because this thing... Mm-hmm. Okay. So this thing that we're looking at, which I'm assuming we're going to put in the show notes.
Yes.
It has like 6 different ones. So those are the different types mm-hmm. of... Okay.
Yeah, these are the basic ones. You have guided meditation, which is often what is very popular on the market with the CDs, and, you know, you're in a cave and it's a dark, calm cave.
Okay.
And you hear the light breeze, and, you know, and as you step forward, you see this and notice this. You know, that's a guided meditation.
Okay.
A mindful meditation is really just kind of, I look at it as slow your ass down and pay attention. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. The mantra meditation is really, you literally repeat a word or a series of words over and over again. And it can be either silently or out loud. So I think one thing that a lot of people didn't recognize as meditation was in the movie What's Love Got to Do With It, when Tina Turner would do her Nam-ryeng-gyo-kyoho, the Buddhist chant, is what she was doing. That's a form of meditation. And I mean, you basically, you know, she would be in the middle of something and she would just sit down, or she would just stand there and close her eyes, and she would just keep repeating that mantra to herself until she was able to focus and center and kind of bring her body back under control.
Okay.
Get it back to equilibrium.
Okay. Yeah, because this thing says that mm-hmm. the benefit of that, it reduces the anxiety and depression
mm-hmm.
while boosting immunity and is soothing all at the same time. So, okay.
And the reason why it boosts immunity and all that is because anxiety, you know, creates, it stimulates the creation of cortisol in your body, which
stress
will make it easier for you to gain weight, particularly belly weight.
Okay.
And it also just, it also kind of shuts down the higher functions of your brain. So you're just kind of out of control. And I think it also, I forget how it suppresses your immune system, but I'm pretty sure that anxiety and either the resulting cortisol or just the fact that all the physiological changes your body goes through with the anxiety, and it makes you more susceptible to illness, which means that your immune system isn't functioning like it's supposed to. And so that's... You know, if you notice that you're starting to get sick with greater frequency and you're maybe feeling a little blue, that could be depression and fatigue combining to really suppress your immune system.
Okay.
Which is why you got to get enough sleep. You got to get some exercise. You got to eat well enough. Maybe not perfect. We're not saying go vegan or anything like that.
Or vegetarian, like
well enough. Or vegetarian, yes. I saw you at that buffet with your little plate all loaded up, and I said, "Oh." And so, oh no, it was at B's birthday brunch, and I said, "What did you?" I was like, "Oh, that's right, vegetarian," because everybody else sitting there with just meat all over the plate, you know, and. You know, but yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these things, they all work together. And it's like until you, it's like when someone explains it to you, you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. No, duh. You know, but we don't think about it in the hustle and bustle of daily life and the crazy that we're going to encounter at some point in our lives. We don't think about it that way. And so I think if anything from this discussion would be aware of your body, how you're feeling. If you don't feel well, there's a reason for that. Yesterday, I came home. I was supposed to go see Black Klansman with a friend of mine, and I sent him a text like, "Yeah, I am part of Team Broke Down tonight, so I'm gonna be lounging." Even though the movie was 4 blocks from my house, I was just gonna walk around the corner, you know, and go check it out. And I said, I am tired. I am going to just stay home. I'm going to watch the US Open. And then I was like, no, I've had, you know, I've had Franck Symphony in D minor on my mind for the last hour, so I'm gonna listen to that. And then I'll go from there. And so I got home and I took off the necessary clothing and I merged my paired my tablet with my wireless speaker, and I put on the symphony and
That was it. You
I
were good to
proceeded
go.
to lie in my bed. And I guess the I fell asleep shortly after the first movement. Did not wake up until about 9:30 last night. 9:35 actually. Went to the bathroom. Did a couple of things. I think I took off my shorts because I had on like the shorts that I was wearing yesterday. Got under the covers this time and went back to sleep until 6 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
And then really did not get out of my bed until 8. So I mean, I basically was in the bed for 13, 14 hours, give or take. And probably could still stand to be in there some more. So I wasn't feeling well yesterday. I was yawning at 4 p.m. and it was incessant
Tired.
yawning. Yeah, I was tired, you know? And so, and I mean, sleep itself is a form of meditation. I
Okay,
know we don't
okay.
think about it that
Yeah.
way, but it is a form of meditation. The only thing you're focused on when you're asleep is breathing. Your body, your mind is like, oh, okay, this fool's out the way. Let me get to work now. Let me restore this body. Let's get some white blood cells over here because this shit's fucked up and it's about to be a problem. And you know, and I don't know why he ate that, but let's eradicate that. Let's deal with it as best we can.
Let's take care of that.
Yeah, I mean, your body, I mean, your brain is an executive for a reason. I mean, it's when I've lectured on the brain, it's always interesting to me because even though I know a lot of that stuff, it's always fascinating to put it together in the context of talking about it and teaching it to other people. You know, or I just start out by saying your brain is a marvel of nature. Like, you don't understand how awesome your brain is until something goes wrong. And then you realize how awesome your brain is and the fact that you've really kind of mistreated your brain and or your body, and it's letting you know it doesn't appreciate that shit now. You know, but I do want to move us forward.
Yeah. Now these next two, the next two I've not really heard of.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. Yeah. So energy meditation, as they describe here, is a combination of specific breathing patterns and specific visualizations practiced simultaneously.
Okay.
I often think of this as yoga, period. It's
Okay.
just because, I mean, if you ever take a yoga class, the first thing your instructor tells you is focus on your breath, focus on your breath. Breathe in through your nose, breathe out through your nose, you know, to heat your body up. If you want to cool your body off, inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth. You know, but while you're practicing your yoga, you're breathing in and out through the nose to warm up your body so it can basically obey the commands you give it, or it can mimic what it sees in the instructor. I often think of yoga as like an energy meditation.
Okay.
Kundalini is a, as they describe here, a powerful form of meditation combining mantra and mudra, which is hand position and sometimes movement. This one I've not really practiced before.
Yeah, and this is one that I have not heard of before.
I've heard of Kundalini yoga, because you have Hatha and you have Kundalini as two of the more popular ones. I've not done Kundalini meditation. I don't think I've ever seen it either. Yeah, I don't really have a lot I can say about that one. I didn't get a chance to research that one. But what I will say, because one of the things that Kundalini does is it revitalizes and purifies the nervous system while rejuvenating the brain and body, therefore enhancing consciousness and releasing self-destructive behaviors and addiction.
Okay.
So this is something, obviously, if you're battling an active addiction, you know, can be a useful tool. Maybe not the only tool. For some, it can work on its own, but others, they may need a little more support than this. But it's a valuable tool that you can use. One thing I will recommend for anyone that does go visit Palm Springs or the Coachella Valley, make a trip to the Integratron. The Integratron, have you been to the Integratron?
Nope. You've mentioned it a few times. We've just never made it out there.
Oh, you've got to go. Okay, so the Integratron is basically, word has it that it was built by, I don't know if it was built by, but either it was built by or the blueprints for it was implanted in the brains of the folks that built it.
What?
Yeah, it's at a harmonic convergence of three fault lines.
Oh.
So it's like this really, I don't know if it's fault lines or some sort of underground. It's been about 2 years since I've been over there, and I'm kind of forgetting, but it's incredible because it's sitting in the middle of nowhere. it's out there. It's about a 45-minute drive from Palm Springs. It is a, think of like a diving tank above ground. But it has like a domed ceiling on it, but it's a metal exterior.
Okay.
The inside is all wood. So you go into the ground floor of it, and then there's a ladder that you climb up into the actual Integratron space. And it's all wood, and it's suspended by cables and this really intricate wood system that's overhead when you're on the ground floor. It's beautiful. If I find my pictures of it, I'll post one or two.
You have shown me pictures of it. So I remember seeing the inside where it was all... I think you should show pictures of the inside? I remember when you said the wood, I do remember seeing that.
Yeah, it's a big wooden post that goes down into the earth, and everything is built off of that post and then supported by the metal superstructure. And so... It basically, you go up there and they have all these pillows and mats. You can bring your own shit to sleep on if you want to, or to rest on. And they just play these quartz bowls. They're like literally like bowls made out of quartz. They're beautiful. And there's someone there who basically plays them. And the vibrations reverberate through your body, and it just kind of scrubs your central nervous system. A lot of people, it puts to sleep, myself included. And they will tell you, like, the acoustics in this space are incredible because you can stand right in the center. There's like a beam of a column of light coming through the center. You can stand there and you won't hear anything.
Okay.
Someone could be next to you talking, not necessarily yelling, but like just talking. You don't hear anything.
And that's
the
because
person directly across the room from you, it's like they're right in your ear. So if you go to sleep and you're snoring, you are wearing somebody's ears out.
Huh.
Like they'll tell you, you know, if your neighbor falls asleep, can you kind of gently nudge them, not to wake them up, but just to stop them from snoring. And so every time I've been there, I've been nudged.
Okay.
And you feel awesome when you come out of there. It's just like, wow, like your mind is so, my mind is so quiet. I feel more in touch with my body. It's just really, it's just wonderful. Not to be all new agey on you, but it's just, it's incredible. So I would definitely recommend the
Integratron. Okay.
Yes. And, you know, they, on the weekends, it's, you know, go to the website and check it out, because you can't just waltz up there and hope to get in. They have it for private sessions a lot on the weekends. You can go up there, but you really need to make a reservation to make sure you can get in, that type of thing. And I think it's like $10 a person or something like that. But it's well worth it. It's well worth it. And just to lie in the hammocks outside, it's worth it. It's like they have hammocks. It's like an outdoor living room. They have all these swinging chairs and hammocks, and it's just awesome. So, and they also have the bathrooms have a little surprise right outside of them as well. If you are a friend, you know, I'll just shut up about that. But if you're a fan of a certain film, you will get your cackle when you see it. So, but okay. But yeah, I'm gonna stop now, because we're 5 minutes from what was supposed to be the end of the show. So it's like, but yeah, I wholeheartedly recommend some form of meditation. If you do make it out to Coachella Valley, hit the Integratron. I think it's spelled integratron.com, I believe. So, did you have any thoughts on our topic before we move on, Dark Boy?
Yes. I guess I probably just need to be into it more and, you know, just actually practice it and do it on a regular basis, not just when I'm stressed, but maybe to prevent from being stressed. It sounds like it might help with that too. So, definitely something I need to get into. Yeah. I mean, something just to, you know, just to get the stress of the day or the week or whatever is going on, and just, you know, sound like it's a really good thing. And so I'm all into health. I mean, I'm going to see this trainer and being vegetarian, but this seems like it should be another piece that I add to my, you know, health repertoire, I suppose.
I think it would be of great benefit. It's certainly something that I look to incorporate into my daily practice as a health promotion tool, but also as a spiritual practice. I think the other side of meditation is certainly people having an active and regular prayer life would be a more equivalent item. But instead of, you know, and I think the prayer itself can be a mantra of sorts, even if it's not repetitious, but it's, you know, kind of focusing your attention on something else. But yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, take a look at meditation in its many forms. See if there's something that works for you, because they also have things like Tai Chi, which is like a motion-based meditation, and it's basically a martial art slowed down. And it looks easy, but the shit ain't easy. I've tried it. It's rough, because you don't realize how much effort it takes to move your body at such a deliberate speed. It's like it strains and it tenses every muscle you have. So when you're done, you're just like, oh,
that's it's a workout.
It's like you might as well. Yeah, it's a workout. Okay. Yoga in its different forms, no joke. You might stand there in the gym, you know, with all your muscles and snicker at them skinny girls in there. And them boys with bellies that's looking just lying there on the floor because they can't do it no more. There's a reason we can't do it no more. It's rough, but it's so good for you.
I always think of yoga as being endurance, like you're able to stretch or you're able to just be in one position for a long time. That's why I always think of yoga. Mm-hmm. And I think like going to the gym and lifting weights is strength, and then yoga is endurance, I guess, is, you know, that's how I've always thought about the two.
Yeah. It's a different type of strength though, because it really is like if you need to tone up, I mean, you can lose weight doing yoga, but if you need to tone, that's where yoga comes in, because it's like a low impact use of all those muscles, and it's no joke. It requires far more of you than you think. Just think of how it is to get out of the bed every morning when you're like first waking up and you're like, oh, let me sling my bed and my legs over the side. it's like that on steroids because you're doing that shit for an hour and, you know, maybe 30 minutes before you get into, if you're doing, because I've only, you know, I've usually done power yoga. So you have all the power poses and positions. That all that is just the warm up. To okay. get you limber and ready to do the power positions where you're like in a scorpion where you're balancing on your palms and you got, you know, and you have your scorpion is like when the legs are up or off to the side, but you're balanced on your palms and nothing else. So your body might be kind of like squished up like in a ball. And then, you know, you might have, you're, then you're up and you have your legs kicked out to the side or one to the side. It's, and you're doing all that based on your hands, your wrists, your forearms, your shoulders, and your upper back. It's supporting the rest of you. That's some rough shit. Okay. So it's not, yeah, it's no joke. But when you're done and you're in a pool of sweat, you feel wonderful, but you are tired. But you feel wonderful. It's like some really good sex for about 2-3 hours is the equivalent.
Okay. That'll get people to do it.
Mm-hmm. But you still might be walking a little funny, no matter what role you were in.
Right.
Because chances are you done stretched and activated something you don't normally use. So it's just like, you're just like, oh, I didn't know I had those muscles. That's the common complaint the first couple of weeks of yoga. You know, because, yeah, just, and you're only moving your body weight around. You're not moving anything else. Just your body. So, but yeah, I have carried on and we've carried long.
Yep.
So let's get into helping a barista out. Yes. Or I guess actually we're asking a barista, and our question today, I need a name for a woman.
You have a Cheryl. Name for a woman we can How use? About Cheryl?
Cheryl? Okay. So dear Cheryl writes, to paraphrase, that she identifies as a butch lesbian.
Okay.
And a lot of her coworkers at work have been speculating on her sexual orientation. And she really feels like it's none of their damn business and they can talk as much as they want. But at the same time, she is finding that it's kind of straining some of her collegial relationships. And she wonders if she just needs to come out or if she just needs to let folks, how does she put it, bathe in their stupidity of speculating on what she's doing in her bedroom and maybe on the kitchen counter when she gets home. So, it's like that was my ad lib. But should she come out or should she just let them continue to speculate?
My opinion, I would say come out. Because I could think back to a job that I had where I didn't come out. And I know that people were speculating. It wasn't a major thing. It wasn't like it was something that was happening every day. But I do think, like, if people don't know, I want to say don't know you, but I can't think of a different word. I think it might hold you back. You know, I think sometimes it's important for them to know what type, your family, and who are you going home to, who are you hanging out with. To me, when I refused to come out of the closet at this one company, and I actually, like I said, I think it held me back. Just in terms of, you know, being like maybe being considered for promotions or anything like that, even though I was a good worker. So if that alone right there might be it. But the other thing for me, I would not want to be gossiped all the time. And even though they shouldn't be doing it, I think come out, be yourself. Don't. Because in a way, this feels like you're kind of, by not telling him, you're kind of tiptoeing. And I don't know if there's a right way to look at it. It's just like you're tiptoeing around telling them, and it's just going to keep continuing. I mean, you can let them drown in their stupidity, but I think you're going to get pulled in the water with them sometimes. So I just think, just say it, get it out, and maybe these folks will move on to something else. I mean, that's just my thing. Mm-hmm.
I definitely see the point you're making. I guess my first thought, with a job is don't fuck with your money.
Well, she didn't say now they're are they doing it in like homophobic where they have a history of letting gay people go. I mean, then that's a little, that's different, but
yeah, she didn't go into that. Yeah. She just said that, there are, hushed conversations, and when she comes in the room, it gets silent. Oh. And we all know that look. So that was definitely a part of it. But also, just she feels like folks are just kind of gotten weird on her. And so, depending on the environment that you're working in, I would say if it is safe enough for you to come out, do so if you want to. Ultimately, who you are in love with, who you fucking, and anything else is none of their damn business.
Right.
So,
truthfully, yes.
Yeah, you're not obligated to reveal that. I mean, if you do happen to get married or you love your boo and you just one day show up with a picture and you put a fine ass on your desk, then there it is.
Yeah.
It's like, any questions, feel free to ask, because they haven't actually.
That's how I came out. I just took a picture, from when me and my husband went on vacation somewhere. I just put it on my desk. I didn't make a big announcement. I didn't, I just put a picture and, that was enough. And so you could do the same thing. It's not this big, huge thing. It's not a big, huge production. Yeah. But, I did it when I felt, I work for a big company and they're progressive. So I wasn't necessarily worried about, their reaction to it.
Yeah. I mean, my general policy on disclosing my sexual orientation and who I may be dating or whatever, it really comes on a need-to-know basis, such that if the scope of our relationship does not include my personal life, does not include my sex life, then I don't feel obligated to bring it up or to even respond to any queries about it. I have been asked in the workplace before. Folks have hinted, I was like, that's a really inappropriate question to ask me in the workplace. And they've been like, oh.
Well, yeah, it's like, and I'm just weird to ask directly, because that part's, yeah, that's a little weird, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've been asked, it's been hinted at, and I mean, it's come from women and it's come from other men. Women, because, they just tend to pick up on that kind of stuff. Other men, because you're not talking about women in the ways that they're talking about them. Yep. And and it's just like, well, who's your shorty at home? And it's like, huh? It's like, oh, I don't discuss my home life here. This is a place where I make my money. I don't live here. And some of them have been like, well, damn, brother, and others have been like, oh, well, yeah, you got a point, so I mean to get in your Kool-Aid. I'm like, not a problem, I appreciate it, but, you and I, that's not in the scope of our relationship, so I'm just going to decline to answer that question. And sometimes, depending on the way you answer it, they just like, oh, he rented all the hoes, and I'm like, okay, if you think so, and I'm just sitting here like, no, I'm just not running my mouth. Like you are, because you probably ain't got no hoes at home. But I would say, Cheryl, if your workplace strikes you as a safe enough space to come out in, and you feel comfortable with that information being part of an established fact, then do you. Be fully authentic in who you are. If you want to take the approach like Dark Boy did, and like I probably would as well, you just put a picture of your baby on your desk one day, or it could even be you and your beloved and your child. When that happens, if that happens, or it's just a picture of her in her bikini, and you're like, yeah, my baby looked good. I love this picture. Whatever it is, it could just pop up on your desk one day. It could be on your screensaver, and I don't think any questions need to be asked at that point. It's just like, you see who's in here. What's the problem? Does this look like my baby sister? It's like, why would I have a picture of my sister in a bathing suit at my desk?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't ask me no dumbass questions. So, yeah, I would say, you know, when you're ready, and only when you're ready, do you answer that question. But again, if no one's asked me, I'm not answering it. I'm just going to do what needs to be done in service of myself. And if that's having a picture of the man I love on my desk or on my screensaver or wherever, so be it. But I'm not going to just walk in one day like, hey, I'm gay.
Right.
Had some good dick last night, you know. Tossed a mean salad, you know. Really? No. That's highly unprofessional, yeah, and inappropriate.
They don't need all involved.
Unless you work in the sex industry, then maybe, you know, it's appropriate. Or you have that type of relationship with a couple of your coworkers, which I would caution you, you know, that could come back to bite you. So yeah, just be very, you know, very thoughtful in how you present yourself, because part of that is your professional reputation, unfortunately. And you run into, you know, you're going to run into people that are going to have a problem with your quote unquote lifestyle. And it's just like, it's not a damn lifestyle. It's my life. And it's just a small part of it. You know, the same way you go home to your couch potato husband and rub his balls, you know, because that's all you need to do to keep him happy. I go home to my lovely wife and I rock her world, and then I gently tuck her in to the bed and we go to sleep. You know, it's just like, whatever, you know. But yeah, so that's all I got for Cheryl. But definitely, you know, do your research, figure out what represents you best, and then act accordingly would be my advice. All right.
All right.
So shall we move on
to
a brother that needs a little assistance?
Yes. All right. I need a name for this one, too.
Okay, is this child, what ethnicity is this child? Do we know?
I'm assuming he is black.
Okay. Because I've already used Cleophas,
yes,
I'm just going to call him Dwayne.
Okay, yes. All right. Dwayne has been seeing this guy on the DL. I didn't even know that was really still happening, but I guess it is.
It never died.
I know. I don't hear about it anymore, so I guess in my mind it faded, but I guess reality did not. He is married to a woman. He has made it clear.
Dwayne's married or the guy's?
The guy is married.
Okay.
He has made it clear that this affair is for pleasure only. There's no chance of a relationship. Dwayne has blown this man. Dwayne has been topped by this man. And apparently this man is very verbal and very into it. But he won't reciprocate. He won't kiss or hug or touch Dwayne. So Dwayne is asking, am I expecting too much out of a DL, quote-unquote, relationship?
You really want me to answer that, Dwayne?
He sent it in, so.
Okay. The short answer, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're expecting to get some degree of reciprocal satisfaction out of this relationship, yeah, whether it's sexual, whether it's time and attention, whether it's the returning of feelings, you know, you're not going to get everything you want.
No.
And that is the hazard of dating a brother on a DL.
Yeah.
he's either unwilling or incapable of giving you what you want in this relationship. So yeah, I'll stick with Dwayne right now. What are your thoughts? I don't want to go into a whole other diatribe. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree with what you're saying. To me, he, you know, Dwayne himself said the guy has made it clear it's just an affair for pleasure. Well, maybe he should be saying for his pleasure. There's no chance of relationship. So I mean, he has told you, he has shown you he won't reciprocate. You know, you don't say how long this has been going on, but if he won't kiss or hug or touch or anything, and he's told you it's just for pleasure, I mean, to me, there's no chance of relationship. I mean, he's told you. So you are expecting too much. If you are expecting there to be all this hugging and kissing and the time, and you're going to be going on vacation together or going on weekend trips, whatever, the man is married. He's not married to you. And he's married to a woman, so that, you know, are there children involved? That's, you know, yeah, so you're expecting way too much. I, you know, I'm certain, I don't want to judge or anything, but maybe this, I mean, this doesn't sound like it's the right thing for you to be doing if you're expecting this other stuff. If you're expecting time and hugging and kissing and touching and all that stuff, it doesn't sound like it's the right type of relationship for you.
Yeah, I think for me, where I was gonna go in my initial response is the kissing, the hugging, the touching. Those are all very intimate
yes.
things that have this emotional, deep feeling kind of part to them. Now, it's not to say that intercourse can't be that as well, but generally, when you're dealing with a guy where he said this is just for pleasure, he's probably thinking in his mind, I touch my wife, I caress her, I kiss her, you know, I spoon and cuddle with her, and I fuck you.
Yeah, this guy is only just trying to shoot his load. He is not trying to do anything else. That's it.
Yeah, and did you say the DL guy was versatile, or was he verse or just top?
He says that he has been topped by the DL guy. So I'm assuming
that he's dealing with trade.
Yeah, so I assume that's all that's happened. Well, he won't reciprocate. So to me, I took it to mean both. He won't go down on him, and he won't bottom for
Yeah, Dwayne. He's basically you are the male form of his wife, in a way of putting it. Yeah, I mean,
he's just a chem receptacle. I think that's it. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, I mean, if a guy's not, particularly someone who's married to a woman and has said to you, this is purely sexual, it's purely for pleasure, it is, you know, it is like you said, it's for his pleasure.
Yeah.
If what he wants to do happens to match up with what you're okay with, then great, it's a win-win. But if you want more, then it's not going to work. And I really feel like he's treating you like a woman who happens to have a penis that he wants nothing to do with. It's, I don't know. It's just, yeah. And that might be a little insensitive to, you know, our trans siblings out there, which wasn't the intention, but just it's this warped idea that some guys, even some that identify as gay, have about how they engage with another man's body. They basically want to reduce a man to his holes and his orifices and nothing else. And it's like, you know, and I've heard some guys say, well, hell, if you're not even going, you know, if you're not even going to suck my dick or jack me off, then why are you with me? Because that's part of this whole pairing, right? And it's like, for him, not so much.
Right.
If you don't force it to be, then it's, if he, you know, it's just like in Pose, where he's like, I like my woman with a little something extra.
Yes.
But he don't want nothing to do with it.
But he wants it to
he
be
ain't
there.
He gonna touch it, but he wants it there.
Yeah.
As like, you know, as I don't know if that's this guy's issue, but certainly the way he's engaging with you, the fact that he's not trying to give you any pleasure at all, unless your G-spot is down your throat, or, you know, he's not really concerned about your pleasure. And by agreeing to this, you've basically said to him, it's okay.
Yeah.
So you don't, you know, if he were single, I would say, you know, you could bother investing the time and energy into renegotiating this arrangement with him. But if you're not happy, you got to just cut it off.
Yeah.
You got to walk away because he's.
I don't think he's going to change just because you're upset or, you know, it's not going to change.
It's like, because think about it in very gross terms, just being very matter of fact here. It's like, okay, you break it off with him. And he doesn't go to anyone else. You know, he basically returns home to his wife, who may or may not suck his dick. She might do it. She might be one of those good girls that just doesn't do that. Hmm. Vaginal sex for him is cool, but he wants something a little more snug. So he maybe has tried to get her to do anal and she won't do it. So the next best thing is a guy. So at this point, all you are to him is a tight hole and a mouth to screw.
Yeah.
Is the point I was
it's
making.
It's a thing, a cum receptacle. That's all it is.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, you know, and I think, you know, when you start getting into the psychology of men that are trans attracted, you know, they are attracted to trans women, trans men, gender nonconforming persons. There's some of that just really the only way to explain some aspects of that is probably in that very blunt, not so gracious language. But if you were to have that conversation with folks that are attracted in those ways, they would really try very hard not to be offensive in describing, well, what is it about? You know, why do you need her to have something extra, but you don't want to touch it? You know, and it's just like, and it's like, well, because for me, if I touch it, that means that I like dudes. It's like, okay. So you can acknowledge her womanhood because she's like, I am a woman, call me a woman. Okay, fine. And I'm going to do all the things with you that I would do with a woman, which also means I'm not dealing with this penis. You know, and it's just, it's insanity. But that is, and I've had a couple of those conversations, and I'm just like, ooh. It's interesting because you just sit there like, wow, you just said that to me. Like, and you're very clear in your head about that. Like, wow. You know. So, yeah, I would just... Dwayne, I think that you're putting yourself in a spot where you're expecting something that's just not in the offering. If you're not okay with what's being received, you know, which is basically sounds like some pretty good dick. If that's not enough...
It must be good. I always assume it's good. If he's on here writing to us.
Yeah, I mean, he wrote in, so it must have been dick of a sufficient quality. And, you know, again, good dick is a wonderful thing. It's also a form of meditation that can relieve a lot of issues. But this one is really, ultimately, this is some toxic dick. So it doesn't make you feel better when you've taken it. So that is the epitome of toxicity. Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
But we wish you the best, Dwayne. That would be our advice.
Yes.
Can't change this man. Can't force him to come out. Now, if this is the great love of your life, I feel for
you.
Yeah,
because you
got
problems.
Maybe it's a different course of action. Yeah, you may have a very big problem, but I think it's also a different course of action that you may want to take. But, yeah. Feeling for you, buddy. Hang in there, though. All right. So I think that wraps up
this
week's episode.
Yes. We just got to give the emails out. So if you want to email us for Ask Your Brester or Help a Brother Out, go ahead and email us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And I think Dr. Buki is going to give the social media contacts.
I do, because I tend to hang out there on the rare occasion nowadays. So you can find us on Facebook at Sexual Healing: from top to bottom. You can also find us on Twitter at Healing Pod. So that's HEALINGPOD. No. See, that I'm tripping. That is not correct.
Get mixed up.
It is Pod Sexual, PODSEXUAL. I promise you that is the correct handle for us on Twitter. It is Pod Sexual. And we're also on Instagram under Sexual Healing Pod, although we don't put a lot up there. I need to remedy that. But as I was saying at the beginning of the show, a brother's a little busy.
Yeah.
But I will do my best to step that up, perhaps in the month of October. It's not happening this month. So once again, you know, be in touch with us. Share our show with a friend. subscribe, please. We would appreciate your ratings on Apple Podcasts. Those are important for us to grow this platform and to get our message out there, which is certainly to lay some of our past foibles out there so you may not fall into them in the future. It's like,
help people be healthy, I think.
Yeah. And so in closing, I think we are also part of the Pods by QPOC family. That's PODSBYQPOC. That is a hashtag. It is also a web domain, www.PODSBYQPOC.com. And that basically stands for Pods by Queer People of Color. If you're looking for more content like ours or from any folks in the LGBTQ spectrum, check out that website or do a search for that hashtag and you will find more content producers like ourselves that may be talking about things that you want to hear about. And once again, shout out to our fellow podcaster Trilificent for his effort to get that established and keep it going. So, any closing words for our...
Say thank you to Trilificent for doing that for us and for everybody. Closing comments, just, I always say be good to yourself, be good to everybody. As we talked about at the beginning of the show, we lost a friend, so... that's one reason to be good, David, because you just never know when the last time you're going to see them. So that's just my closing thoughts right there.
Yeah. I would say bring those that you love their flowers while they can still smell them.
Yeah.
Because we definitely didn't see this loss coming. And I don't know if we even really understand the full scope of it yet.
No, we don't.
I know I don't. I will when I go to dial his phone and know he's not going to answer. I would also suggest you drink your water, get your sleep. As Ms. Kia of Getting Grown likes to say, mind your business. It's a key one. And of course, my favorite sign-off, be a blessing in the world, not a curse. So have a good one, y'all.
Yep.
Wishing you the very best. All right. Talk to y'all next week.
Till next time.